Genesis 25, avoid the terrible trade. Genesis 25, verses 34 says, "Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and drank and then got up and left." So Esau despised his birthright. The terrible trade is one we've all made. But have good news. Unlike Esau in Genesis 25, you have a second chance today to make a better choice. What will you choose? A short-term fix or a long-term legacy? A bowl of beans worth pennies or a birthright that is priceless? If you aren't familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau, that last choice seems a bit odd. So let's back up. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. One day Esau was hunting while Jacob was at home cooking and some bean stew. And then Esau came in famished and immediately wanted some stew from his brother Jacob. And so Jacob offers his brother a bowl of his bean stew in exchange for his birthright. As the older twin, the birthright was not only worth a lot of money, but it is also represented a priceless place of honor. In a shocking moment, Esau makes the terrible trade. Why in the world did he do this? We could process this story for days and come up with several answers. Jacob was tricky and just a big trickster, you know, and was the wrong person for Esau to talk to in a moment of utter desperation. Esau was careful with something incredibly priceless. Esau let himself get to a place of utter desperation without having a plan for provision. Yes, there are many things that we could examine about Esau, but I think a smarter takeaway might come from us examining ourselves. We've all got a bowl of beans coming our way, you know, whether scrolling through social media rather than digging into God's word, finding time to pose for selfies but not kneel to pray, setting a timer to ensure we don't miss a TV show but not an alarm clock to get us up for Sunday morning church, finding white space for video games and Facebook but not face-to-face conversations with real people, giving up God's design for intimacy for cheap pleasures the world promotes. And we never know how much these bowls of beans are really, you know, costing us. Dear friend, we hear our heart of compassion and not condemnation. So, you know, we've all been there. But let's now be aware of what a snare today's compromises really are. Let us be the friend who doesn't appear in Esau's story. Let us intervene before a bowl of beans comes, right? And say, don't give up what you want long term for what feels good short term. Avoid that terrible trade. And so prayer that we can all pray, dear Heavenly Father, may you please give us the wisdom to recognize the terrible trades, you know, whatever it is. And give us the courage, Father, to say no to them. Unlike Esau, we ask you to help us to be a person who doesn't trade short-term gain for long-term good. And we thank you and praise you in advance, because with God, nothing is impossible, as we are determined to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so what we can reflect on, a reflection is that, and write in our journals, is what's one thing that you can do to resist the temptation of trading long-term good for short-term gain? So don't give up what you want long-term for what feels good short-term. We can avoid this terrible trade and continue moving forward in faith, following Jesus.
that you've learned many things, but I know I certainly have. This past week, we looked at Genesis 21 through 25, and so much that took place in these five chapters really impacts the way that we do life today. Even though that was a long time ago, the implications of what happened affects the decisions that we make today. We had the much anticipated birth of Abraham and Sarah's son, Isaac. That started our week, and then by the end of the week, we were already learning of Isaac's sons. These chapters were certainly action-packed. In my teaching on Genesis 25, I talked a little bit about a very poor trade that Esau made. So I want to jump right into the scriptures and look and see exactly what happened in this story. In Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 27, we find that the boys grew up. Now these boys are, of course, the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. It says, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob, the other son, Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but his wife, the mother, Rebekah, loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why it was also called Edom. Verse 31, Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is a birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. You know, I think I can read this and get really critical of Esau and think, how in the world could he have done something so foolish? How could he have traded what could have been an eternal, amazing, long-term birthright? How could he have traded that for something so temporary as a bowl of stew? I can get real critical of him, but here's the reality. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. I have all the rights included in that. If you will, that's kind of my birthright. I have freedom, and yet sometimes I'm willing to trade it for lesser things. I have security, and yet sometimes I trade it for lesser things. I have absolute just identity in Christ. I mean, I am a child of the Most High King. But I can trade that reality for things so very temporary. So before I start criticizing Esau, I think I really need to look at what caused Esau to be in such a desperate place. And I really pulled out these three truths that speak volumes to me, and I hope they speak volumes to you too. So the first thing is, Esau was out hunting, and he must have hunted so long that he allowed himself to get to a desperate place. Like, he must have pushed himself and worked and worked and worked and worked without replenishing himself, all the way to the point that he got to such a desperate place. Now, his work should have been creating food. So either it was a really bad hunting day, or he never took time to build a fire and cook what he had captured, enjoyed what he was working so hard for. So this is one of the first major lessons that I see that I need to remind myself from the life of Esau. Him working more did not make him more successful. It made him more desperate. In other words, him pushing past the limits of his work. It's good to work. It's good to go out and work with your hands and do the jobs and assignments that you're supposed to do. It's good to be responsible. But pushing past the boundaries, going past what really is just your assignment for today that God has for you, and pushing to the point where you allow yourself to get so depleted that you're in a desperate place, that's not going to make you more successful. It's just going to make you more depleted and more desperate. In my life, I can think of, okay, I have a big meeting today, or I'm recording First Five videos. Let me pop out of bed. Going to my First Five, instead of opening to God's Word and letting God's Word feed me and fuel me and prepare me for my day, let me push past that limit. Let me push past all boundaries, and let me just jump into the preparation and work, and let me work all day and then fall into bed at night. But if I never get into God's Word, all that work is not going to make me more successful. Really, if we skip our time with the Lord in the morning, I can promise you, you will not have a more successful day. You'll have a day where you're operating from a place of depletion and maybe even get to a desperate place where then you trade the security that you have in your birthright with Christ for an insecurity that the world's going to come at with you, come at you all day. So working more didn't make him more successful. It made him more desperate. The second thing that I learned from Esau that applies to my life is feelings lie. Feelings lie. He said, I'm so famished, I'm about to die. Now, here's the reality. I really don't think that he was about to die. I think that his feelings were lying to him. I think that his feelings seemed so urgent that he was willing to do whatever it took to quiet those feelings in the moment. But that's a very bad trade. Momentary pleasure for lifetime legacy, that is a bad trade. Momentary pleasure for lifetime legacy. I think about that, and I think about maybe a woman at her office who is really going through a tough time in her marriage, right? And so there's a man in the next cubicle over, and he says sweet things to her, and he does sweet things for her, and then one day he invites her to lunch. Don't go to lunch. Don't even set that whole thing into motion. Don't trade that sense of needing momentary pleasure for a lifetime legacy. Don't do that because you're trading your birthright. That's not who you are. You are made for so much more. The third thing that I learned from Esau is how important it was for him to understand his birthright. And maybe if he had already pre-decided early on in his life that his birthright was incredibly valuable, that it was never worth trading anything else for. Maybe if he had pre-decided, he wouldn't have traded in this difficult moment. You see, I don't think Esau really knew that one day the Bible was going to be written and that the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were going to be listed. And really, because Jacob was the second son, the way the scripture should have been written, every time it says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it should have said Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But he traded all of that for a bowl of lentil stew, for a bowl of beans. And so that really challenges me. Lisa, have you pre-decided to have a long-term vision of your life, that it is so important that you remember you are a child of God and that you've got to pre-decide today that whatever it takes, you're going to stay in line with that assignment, that you're going to stay in alignment with the assignment that God has already placed on your life. Your birthright is that you are a girl of character. You are a girl of integrity. You are a girl who loves Jesus, and you are a girl that's going to follow Jesus. You've already pre-decided that. So when other possibilities come along, good and bad, that are distracting, and isn't it interesting that the bowl of beans wasn't a bad thing? Like, a bowl of beans isn't a bad thing. I mean, it was a good thing for him to want food, but it was not the best thing. It was not in alignment with the assignment that could have been his. So, really quick, let's recap those three things. Working more doesn't make you more successful. Feelings lie. So we've got to have other people or other access to truth that can boss those feelings around. And the third thing is pre-decide. Pre-decide. There's nothing worth trading your birthright for. So I hope that speaks to you personally like it did me this week. And before I go shaking my finger at Esau, I think I really need to let these lessons speak deeply into situations that I'm facing today and certainly situations that I will face tomorrow. So, okay, let me ask you this question. How's it going on memorizing the major moments? I know there's a lot of them. Genesis has 50 chapters, so there's a lot of major moments, but I really want us to get intentional about making sure that we dive into these major moments and commit them to memory, because remember, it's going to give us such a beautiful orientation of the Bible. If you haven't memorized them all, don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep at it, and I promise you will be so glad that you did. So let's review what happened this week. Okay, the first thing we learned this week was the birth of Isaac. So that was our first memorization, and that happened, let's go back and look, I think that happened in 21. So we're in Genesis chapter 21, we find the birth of Isaac, and then Genesis chapter 22, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. So we've got the birth of Isaac, then we've got the potential sacrifice of Isaac, but it wasn't a sacrifice because God provided. Then the next one, so we've got chapters 21, 22. In chapter 23 of Genesis, we find the burial of Sarah. And then in chapter 24, one section over, we find that the servant finds Rebecca, Isaac's wife. And then in chapter 25, we find Jacob tricking his brother Esau into giving him the birthright in exchange for a bowl of soup. So I hope those will give you that great orientation that we're trying to create as you memorize all the way up to Genesis chapter 25. Goodness, that's an action-packed week, isn't it? Whoever said that the Bible is boring certainly has not read these chapters. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this weekend wrap-up. We're really enjoying reading your comments and getting to know you and seeing what you're learning. And honestly, I've had so many people say to me through social media, they love what we're teaching in First Five. They love the weekend wrap-up videos, but their favorite part are your comments. So your contribution in the comments, it matters. People read them and love them and enjoy them. And certainly, it's such a sweet encouragement to those of us working behind the scenes on the First Five app. So absolutely post about First Five in your social media.
I just want to say this podcast is really uplifting. The tips Monique gives are really helpful. It's always helpful in the morning after my prayer and reading my devotional in my Bible. This is the first thing I listen to. And it's always uplifting if I don't get a morning message. The tips are always helpful. It is uplifting. I love the prayers in the beginning. And I just hope that this podcast continues to grow because it really has been a staple in my life.